Is Embraer about to branch out into larger planes? Russia's president ratchets up the rhetoric. And an NTSB team will assist the Mexican government. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 7th, 2008. An executive with Brazilian plane maker Embraer said this week the company is reviewing the business case to develop a larger narrow-body aircraft, including a possible partnership with another manufacturer. The company later took steps to downplay the resulting speculation. Reuters reports Embraer CFO Antonio Luiz Pizarro Manso commented during a Tuesday conference that the company is considering whether or not to enter the 110 to 130 seat airliner market. That segment is now dominated by smaller variants of the Boeing 737 and Airbus A320. Embraer rival Bombardier hopes to enter that same market with its upcoming C-Series. Pizarro Manso told participants on the call, quote, "Right now, we think the market is well supplied by the existing models. So our strategy is to wait a bit, especially to see what kind of engine can be developed for such a project," unquote. His statement is made more intriguing by comments from Airbus CEO Tom Enders. One day before a planned visit to Embraer's production facility, Enders said on Monday Airbus is always open to a partnership with Embraer. Embraer addressed the industry buzz with an official statement on Wednesday. Quote, "Embraer publicly clarifies that at the present time, it is not seeking to associate with any other aircraft manufacturer in the world, neither does it have a project for developing large airplanes," unquote. In an address to the Russian Federal Assembly on Wednesday, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said his country will locate Iskander missiles and jamming equipment around Kaliningrad on Russia's western border in response to Poland's decision to allow a U.S.-supplied missile defense system on its soil. Quote, "These are forced measures. We have told our partners more than once that we want positive cooperation. We want to act together to combat common threats, but they unfortunately don't want to listen to us," unquote. Medvedev also blamed what he called unilateral decisions by the U.S. administration for Russia's economic troubles and the war in Georgia. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell dismissed Medvedev's argument in comments to the New York Times. Quote, "The Russians know full well that our European missile defense system is not capable of defeating their enormous ballistic missile arsenal. Rather, it is meant to counter Iran's growing missile threat. And we have bent over backwards to invite the Russians to partner with us to defeat this common threat," unquote. A senior Bush official who asked to remain anonymous said the statement is a diversion tactic for consumption by the Russian people. Quote, "They have to find an outside villain to offset the criticism they're starting to hear about their handling of the economy," unquote. Tuesday's crash of a Learjet 45 on approach to Mexico City International Airport, which claimed the lives of Mexican Interior Minister Juan Camilo Moreno and former Assistant Attorney General José Luis Santiago Vasconcelos, will get an unusually transparent investigation. Mexican President Felipe Calderón has ordered the release of radar images and air traffic control recordings related to the accident. A preliminary review of that information does not show anything amiss up to the time the aircraft disappeared from radar. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has also dispatched a team to assist in the investigation. Despite high-level assurances the crash was accidental, government critics charge corruption or drug lords may have been involved. Up next on ANN, an AOPA panel analyzes the impact of the U.S. national election on GA. Cirrus introduces perspective for the rest of us, and Diamond puts a glass panel in the DA-20. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 7th. I'm Paul Plack. In San Jose, California yesterday, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's AOPA Expo opened with a general session which brought together an expert panel to analyze the effects of Tuesday's national election on general aviation. Themed the day before yesterday, the session opened with a standing ovation for retiring AOPA President Phil Boyer. The panel was moderated by AOPA's Director of Governmental Affairs, Andy Cibula, and panelists included the former FAA Administrator Jane Garvey, James Coyne, President of the National Air Transportation Association, Steve Alterman, President of the Cargo Airline Association, and Ken Mead, former Department of Transportation Inspector General. Among the comments given in analysis, Coyne said he felt the electorate is seeking a real communicator in the office of president, something he said has been lacking in recent years. Alterman said indifference toward general aviation among lawmakers will be a problem. Quote, "It's a real challenge to energize the new Congress and administration with the importance of getting things done," unquote. Mead observed, quote, "We are entering an era of great expectations. People voted on the basis of hope and change," unquote. But he went on to predict that President-elect Obama's honeymoon with the country will be a short one. Garvey was asked what qualities are important in a new administrator. She responded, quote, "Leadership, management, the ability to pull people together and determine a path forward are really critical," unquote. In an interesting high-tech touch, audience Q&A featured text messages from attendees displayed on a big screen. Aero TV will have expanded coverage in coming weeks, and I'll talk with ANN managing editor Rob Finfrock in today's Aero News special feature. We'll talk about highlights of day one at AOPA Expo. Next week, listen for our first interview with AOPA's incoming president, Craig Fuller. Cirrus Design will now offer enhanced vision for the Garmin G1000-based Cirrus Perspective Avionics Suite in the SR22. Perspective EVS is based upon the MaxViz EVS 600 multi-sensor system that blends visible light with traditional infrared imagery. Its unique benefits include the ability to see clouds at night and avoid potential icing conditions, turbulence, or thunderstorms. The system will cost about $15,000, including installation, and is available only for 12-inch Garmin screens. Cirrus says more than 200 current owners are candidates for upgrades. Buyers of new SR20 aircraft will also have a synthetic vision option. Cirrus Perspective by Garmin will now be available in SR20s, delivered starting in early 2009, and will be available for either 10 or 12-inch screens. Cirrus Chairman and CEO Alan Klapmeyer also mentioned the company's position in a marketplace which has recently been filled with news of manufacturers abandoned by their investors. Quote, "Cirrus enjoys very strong support from its private ownership group, Arcapita. Both the very considerable depth of Arcapita's asset base and the commitment of the Arcapita team to Cirrus ensure that our fundamentals remain very strong," unquote. A popular two-seat trainer is going glass. Diamond Aircraft and Aspen Avionics announced yesterday at AOPA Expo that the DA-20 is now available with the Aspen Pilot Primary Flight Display, creating the industry's lowest-priced certificated glass cockpit aircraft. Diamond President Peter Maurer commented, quote, "Combining low acquisition cost with a 5-gallon-per-hour fuel burn, low maintenance costs, and low insurance rates makes the glass DA-20 the most economical means to integrate technologically advanced aircraft training into any flight training program," unquote. The Aspen Primary Display is a roughly $8,000 option. An additional multifunction display is expected to become available as soon as certified, and that's expected about the middle of next year. Still ahead, LPV approaches reach a major milestone. A proposed TSA rule change threatens warbird rides. And Part 121 duct tape. What's that got to cost? You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 7th. I'm Paul Plack. We think of next-gen air traffic control as something way off in the future, but part of it already has reached a milestone. The FAA says the agency has now published 1,333 localizer performance with vertical guidance, or LPV, approach procedures, which are based on the WAAS GPS system commissioned in 2003. That's a milestone because it happens to be more than the number of ILS approaches. In addition to providing greater precision and reliability than ILS, WAAS approaches free the FAA from having to install and maintain navigation equipment at the airports. ILS approaches have been around for 60 years now, guiding aircraft to as low as 200 feet above the runway surface. WAAS now provides that same capability, but at more runway ends. The FAA says WAAS LPVs can currently be found at 833 airports, with a goal of publishing 500 new WAAS procedures each year until every qualified runway in the National Airspace System has one. The Collings Foundation added its voice to the chorus opposed to the Transportation Security Administration's so-called Large Aircraft Security Program, which proposes to add new security restrictions on Part 91 operations and operators of any aircraft over 12,500 pounds maximum takeoff weight. The group notes, quote, as proposed, it would be fatal to the Wings of Freedom tour and our ability to take these historic aircraft around the country and share them with millions of Americans annually, unquote. The TSA wants, among other things, flight crew member criminal history records checks and security threat assessments, watch list matching of passenger manifests, and security training for all flight crew members. Operators would also be required to have security coordinators on staff. The major criticism from general aviation groups so far is that the program attempts a cut and paste of rules from commercial operations into the GA world without regard for whether any of it will actually work. AOPA and NBAA have both asked for an extension of the official comment period beyond the 60 days now ticking by. The Collings Foundation agrees, telling TSA the period includes several major holidays when, quote, typically Washington becomes a ghost town, unquote. The Wings of Freedom tours give paying passengers the opportunity to fly in vintage warbirds, including the B-17 Flying Fortress and the B-24 Liberator. Alpha Flying Incorporated, a fractional aircraft ownership program based in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, has announced the expansion of its primary service into parts of Arkansas, Oklahoma, Southeast Texas, and Louisiana. Among the airports to be added are Galveston, San Antonio, and Tulsa. George Antoniadis, founder and CEO, said the decision was based on demand from current and prospective owners wishing to fly to and from those new areas. Quote, PlainSense has always been positioned as the most sensible fractional program based on the economics and performance of the PC-12. Especially in the current economic environment, PlainSense has attracted many people whom we did not want to turn away. We have worked hard over the past months on the operational aspects to ensure that we will continue to provide the same high level of service that our current aircraft share owners have come to expect from the PlainSense program, unquote. Alpha Flying accepted its first Pilatus PC-12 in 1995. Since then, the fleet has grown to 35, with two additional aircraft scheduled to arrive by the end of this year. The average age of the fleet is 2.5 years. And finally, one of the most versatile and indispensable tools ever invented apparently has yet another use. The Associated Press reports Maria Esther Castillo of Oswego, New York, faces charges of resisting arrest and interfering with the operations of a flight crew aboard United Airlines Flight 645 from Puerto Rico to Chicago last Saturday. Witnesses say the 45-year-old woman hit a flight attendant on the butt with her hand, stood and fell onto the head of a blind passenger, and later started pulling his hair. Castillo was reportedly agitated, especially when the flight attendants refused to serve her any more alcohol. But when the crew placed her in ankle cuffs, they kept slipping off. So they duct taped her to her seat while the plane was diverted to Charlotte, North Carolina, where she was arrested. Now, I'm not surprised alcohol was involved. I'm not even surprised that duct tape proved an effective restraint mechanism. But I do have one question. If airliners are equipped with rolls of duct tape, what exactly do crews normally use it for? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock gives us an update from AOPA Expo in San Jose, California. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.